Last week we talked about public attitudes to the carbon tax. While most of us want action on climate change, we don't want to pay for it. That's what the research is showing. And despite our best intentions, we're not changing our lifestyles fast enough to make a difference. Old habits die hard, after all. But if you're part of a group, it's easier to stay motivated. That's the idea behind the Energy Mark program run by CSIRO. Friends and neighbours round the kitchen table talking about practical solutions to climate change. Annette Gillies is the CSIRO Energy Mark Coordinator for New South Wales, and she joins me now. Hello, Annette.
Good Monday morning to you, Richard.
Now, what are some of the various groups out there actually achieving at the moment?
Currently, the groups that are a part of the Energy Mark, the current Energy Mark, they're achieving big things, but hopefully they will be bigger when they come to the end of the project. I was actually a convener for the pilot group 3 years ago in Newcastle, and the changes in the pilot groups in Newcastle at the time were anything up to about 30% in their energy bills. But you have to remember that was the average. Some people are already doing a lot, some people not so much. So Energy Mark is all about changing people's behaviours, educating them, giving them better knowledge and understanding, and changing their habits.
But it occurs to me there's such a huge range. I mean, you could do everything from having a veggie patch that you haven't had before to installing, you know, solar panels on your roof.
Exactly. And you have to, although you encourage people to have behaviour and habit change, you have to recognise that everyone has different circumstances. So as much as we would love everyone to have PVs on their roof, as you say, just doing a worm farm, joining a land care group, doing something, it makes a difference. And and having a plan, an action plan, is something I might be able to achieve in 12 months or talk to the neighbours about pitching in and doing something together in the next 2 years.
Because having solar panels, that's expensive. A lot of people, many people, can't just say, well, yeah, well, I'll do that. I'll go solar.
Exactly. And it's that's where, I don't know if you're trying to get to the power side of it or not, but there are other things and other areas of your life you can save money and power. Therefore, you'll have the money to pay for the rising power bills. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It's not just power. It's a lifestyle. It's a complete lifestyle and looking at it as a whole change in behaviour that's necessary.
Now, you recruit people to be conveners, don't you?
Yes.
Now, what do the conveners do?
Volunteer conveners. They are the glue that holds this project together. They gather around their kitchen table, so to speak, and the kitchen table offers a safe venue, somewhere where they can bond and ask questions and share knowledge together, because most people won't get up in a public forum and ask a question or put a point forward. It's scary. So the conveners gather their group, and they can be anyone they like. We don't tell them who to gather, and they convene 8 meetings, one a month for 8 months, and then they report back. Each of the meetings has a topic with discussion points, and the conveners report back to the project manager after each meeting on the results of those discussions and any tangents, any questions. We've got over 300 groups across New South Wales, and that's starting from Norfolk Island and then across the state, and they discuss a whole range of things. What is climate change, energy and climate change, the energy technologies, both renewable and non-renewable.
So if they've got a question that the convener can't answer...
Yes, we have. Part of the reporting system is ask an expert. So if you've got a question in your group that you can't answer through your own research or you can't find the answer, you can report that to the project manager. You'll have an answer back from one of the CSIRO experts by your next meeting. And on top of that, we're sharing all those questions and answers in our monthly newsletter that's going out to all the groups.
I mean, I would think, but correct me if I'm wrong, that if you're prepared to be part of a group, you probably are already fairly up to speed, or are you finding that actually the average group member doesn't know that much about this issue?
I don't think there is an average group member. You have people in some groups that are in community gardens, they're in transition town, they're aware of a lot of things, but this is not telling people what they've got to believe, this is education. Some people know nothing, and they want to because it's such a confusing and complex issue, the global warming, climate change and power saving, that people are looking at the CSIRO and this particular project as being information from a trusted and reliable source.
Mm.
It's based on knowledge and understanding, their attitudes, what actions they're doing now, and as they go through the process and are empowered with this information, they get confident, they can share it with other members of their family and neighbours, and it's just, I'm just blown away by this.
So each of these groups is like throwing a little rock in a pond.
Because
them talking to other people who aren't in the group,
yes,
that will have an effect.
Yes.
You're already seeing that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even with my group, the one I piloted, and the information I learnt from that, I was able to talk to other neighbours. People ask me questions now like I'm a fully-fledged scientist. And I just steer them to where they need to go, or I suggest things that they need to look into for themselves. But the feedback from the groups that have had two or three meetings so far is extremely positive. Some of the conveners are saying that their groups wanted to continue the meeting, or why do we have to wait a month for the next meeting? Because they're becoming empowered. And as I said before, confident in what they're learning, and realising that what they're reading in the newspaper or hearing from talkback radio is not right.
Now, one of the things that you get the groups to do is give them a series of challenges.
Well, that's sort of outside the square. That's a little thing in the newsletter. I did it with my group, and we've carried it on with the newsletter. Little things like, you've heard about don't eat meat for a week. Challenge them to eat out of the pantry for the next fortnight. Ask them to go and research things like, why is there a global problem with bees? Go and talk to Nana. What did Nana do in her first 10 years of marriage with... You know, and it's surprising.
Yeah,
they're just little things that you sort of don't think. And also little things like, lots of things, really.
And Annette, you've rolled out the program very well, 300 odd groups across New South Wales.
Yep.
Are there plans to take it further to other states?
That's not part of my job. I'd love to see it happen, but... I'm a coordinator of New South Wales.
Right.
It all depends on funding, and that's entirely out of my hands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
That's Annette Gilley. She's the CSIRO Energy Mark Coordinator for New South Wales, and I happen to know, actually, that Energy Mark's now looking for volunteers for Brisbane and Redland Bay, and you can find details on our website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. Tomorrow on Life Matters, we're going to meet the listener who's the co-founder of an eco-village at Currumbin in Queensland. You'll also meet a man who's obsessed with collecting. Well, you have to wait and listen tomorrow. News time now.